Hi, Rob. It's Kristen.
Good morning. Hi, Kristen.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well,
Rob, good morning.
Good morning. Who do we have? Everybody today.
Well, we sent Ginger to Florida. Got tired of her, so we sent her down there for 10 days or so.
Nice. Sounds
all right. Well, let's see. Tracy, you want to start and kind of give it an update on what
yeah.
are the, what are the good things we've done?
Yeah.
And then I think we've got a topic that you can help us with, Rob, that we need to get better at. I don't know if we're struggling with it. We just need to get better.
So just to keep us updated on year-to-date numbers, so new money this year, we're at $16,123,000. Of that $16 million, $5.5 million has come from new clients. We have 3 new clients year to date. Our goal was anywhere $20 million with a stretch goal of $25 million. So I think one of the things John might want to talk to, his concern is where he sees the money from to meet those goals. We also have new fee money we've moved. It's a little over $4.8 million. Majority of that's been fixed income this year. COI meetings, John had 3 this month, and I've got 1 tomorrow with a client. It's a new CPA. She's actually from Oregon, but she moved and she wanted me to, you know, introduce myself and have a, you know, what our process is conversation with him. So I've got that tomorrow morning. And then John had a referral meeting this month that I think he was going to update you on. And we've got a trip planned this week. John's going to Atlanta to meet with 2 clients, and one of them is for, you know, new assets goal there. So those were the good things we did this month. And then John had a meeting with a branch manager outside of Merrill Lynch, is that where he's at?
No.
Oh,
Raymond James now.
In regards to you know our team and you know new team members, so that's also something he wanted to update you on that we worked on this month. So John, do you want to start off with your?
Yeah. Well, let's see if we've got our centers of influence. I had lunch and dinner with one of the attorneys. I had lunch with a CPA. I had lunch again with another estate planning attorney. There's a CPA firm on the first floor of our building, and we sent a client to the managing partner there, and I confirmed with the client and also with the CPA that they have connected and they've moved the stuff. So that guy now is on my radar, and it makes sense because he's on the first floor of our building. And in the past, we've had some relationships with him, with clients. I did send a note to the other CPA that we sent them. We had a client meeting on Friday, and they just asked us, "Do you have somebody else that you would recommend?" And I let him know that we gave their name, the contact information to them. So then the obvious question from you is, what kind of reciprocation have you had? And the answer at this point is none. So it's time to have the, you know, quid pro quo conversation with 3 of those people anyway. The referral that Tracy mentioned was unsolicited. This is a anesthesiologist. It's rather odd, but he said, "I will probably come in Friday." He showed up, brief conversation, and he said, "What would you do with $500,000 that I would give you?" And I would say, I said, "Nothing. That's below our minimum."
Okay.
And so I don't know. The conversation changed somewhat since then. I know the other physician that referred him to us, Kristen, did you speak with him?
Yes, I did.
And it's my understanding that you know, he just wanted to know if we had heard from the gentleman, which we had.
Where did that end, John?
Well, I listened to him, and I just said, this is how we do. We start off with developing a plan. And about three times he mentioned his wife, and I just said, well, do you think it would make sense for you to bring your wife in, and we could have a more in-depth conversation and talk about putting a plan together for you? Because I you know, if you give me $500,000 or $2 million, and if I don't know what your objectives are, that's just not the way we do it in our group. That we have a process, and it starts with the plan. And he just said, I'll get back to you, and that's where I left it.
Yeah, that's kind of odd, isn't it, huh?
It was odd, and I mean, after all these years, I pick up on odd.
Yeah.
And I just, you know, we just sort of, if he comes back, he comes back. If not, we, you know, we move on. Wednesday I'm having lunch with a neighbor who I've known. I mean, he was a very prominent attorney here in town. I just saw him at a neighborhood party, so I'm just sort of, you know, working that. I mean, you know, the question would be is, you know, is there anything we could help you with? You know, I'll be curious to see how that goes. And then I remember the last time we talked, I was a little taken back when I asked the guy that runs our office if he had resumes. Some people had sent resumes. We were looking for a, you know, client service associate, and he said, I have no resumes on file. So a friend of mine called me and said that the this guy was the former complex manager for Merrill Lynch. I guess he was a complex manager there for about 13 years. And then now he's at Raymond James. He said that he was having drinks with him and wanted to know if I would go with him. And I said, sure. So, you know, we talked about a lot of things. We talked about being 65 years old, what's going on at UBS, what's going on at his office. And I mentioned to him that I was a little taken back when I asked for resumes, that he said he had none on file. And I said, Tom, if I asked you that same question, what would you say? And he said, oh, yeah. He goes, I've always got resumes. So I will, and I didn't tell Tracy and Kristen this, but every time I see him, I always get a letter from him. And I got a letter from him on Friday. But I'm just trying to work it to see, you know, if there's somebody out there that maybe he's got or he knows about. And then the conversation always goes into a young man over there that he knows I'm friends with, and he's always convinced that that's who I'm going to bring in on this team. And so I asked for an update on him, and he was telling me how well he was doing. And part of his letter on Friday was, you should come over here.
Of course it is.
Of course it is. I'd expect him to. I'd be disappointed if he didn't say that.
Right.
So that's what's been going on in our pre-call meeting this morning. I mentioned that I thought the pipeline seemed a little dry. You know, we have a $20 to $25 million new asset goal every year, and I'm just looking out and thinking, you know, where's that going to come from in the last 4 months of the year? But Rob, I think I could pick up $1.5 million in Atlanta, Tracy.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, it'll happen. The $20 million will happen. The $25 million, you know, it's always nice to have a stretch goal.
Right. So how do you feel, John? Do you feel like you're making progress in this business model, the multiplier business model, or are we still struggling?
I think the supernova side of it's working very well. I like it when I've got my days, you know, scheduled to a point. I think I'm getting better about, you know, making notes. I think I'm getting better about getting Kristen the information for preparation for the meetings. I think we've made good progress in 8 months.
How about the 24-month calendar? Is that working? Are you using
it? That's funny you should bring that up, because that's our where we felt like we are struggling, I guess is the word John used. So I'll just kind of go with what we talked about this morning is regards to our monthly calls, not the quarterly reviews or the in-person meetings, but monthly calls. You know, I've mentioned to John that I feel like those conversations have continued to be, I don't want to say performance-driven, but more still about the clients' portfolios and their investment strategies. We've had, you know, not necessarily a education topic or some other kind of topic other than for select clients who this works for. We've talked about the Secure Act, but obviously that's not every single client. So that was something that I feel like we need to focus on. If we're looking for one thing that we're struggling with, I think that is the monthly calls and getting out of making recommendations and having it be investment strategy driven on the client's portfolios.
So, John, what do you think?
I agree, and we talked about that this morning, but on our 9 o'clock, was it a monthly call?
Yes.
Monthly call this morning, we had a strategy for this client to gift, and you know, at the end of the call, he just said, gosh, really, are we going to have these calls every month? And I said, yeah, that's the plan. He goes, these are great. He goes, these are wonderful. And it started out, you know, going over, you know, he's been out of the country and traveling a lot, and so we haven't really spoken to him since May, I think. And so we had done a rebalance on his accounts back then. So, of course, I wanted to tell him what a great job that was that we did for him. And, you know, what's going on with you? And then, you know, talked about when he asked about the market, though, didn't he? So, you know, we kind of went over this and that. And and then Tracy got into the gifting that he normally does, and we thought this would be a good time, because the market had declined in the fourth quarter last year. And then we found out that he had another significant gift that he wanted to make. So we came up with a very specific way to do it. And he was, I think, very appreciative of that. We always do the follow-up notes, and we also always include his CPA in this too. So, but he said more than once, this is great. Thank you, guys. We're going to do this every month. That's wonderful. And I think it was because of the topic of the gifting more than, you know, the update on what in the world's going on with the market these days.
Right. Okay. So, all right. So that's his topic. Is that your topic for every client, or is that just specifically for him?
Yes.
I think that's maybe where we're struggling. I mean, we went through a series of the monthly calls with the Secure Act, where they were changing the required minimum distribution age.
Yeah.
And that was relevant to clients 65 years old and older. You know, that's between 65 and 70. I mean, that was relevant. And we did some good work there, because 90% of them didn't know anything about it.
Right.
But then I think we reverted back to almost kind of a you know, performance market summary type of call. And that's what we need your help on, is how do we get away from that?
Okay, so keep in mind, John and Tracy, your brain is going to want to do the easiest thing all the time. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, just think about that, right? I mean, it's easier to not plan than to plan. It's just the things that we need to do are always going to be something that we're going to naturally not want to do. So we, being high achievers, have to go in the opposite direction. So we always have to do the things that make us slightly uncomfortable. Okay? So we have to plan. I mean, what you're doing now is not what normal financial advisors want to do, okay? They don't want to have an agenda, they don't want to call people, and they certainly don't want to have an executive summary. So now all those things benefit the client, okay? So we have to say, okay, what's in the best interest of the client? We're going to do the things that, it's a little harder for us, but guess what? It's going to be better for the client. All right, so what's better for the client? You need to educate them. You need to educate them on what they don't know. So, and what they, and we're all procrastinators, including our clients. We all fail to pay attention to detail. So all the things that human beings fail to do, we, as their coaches, have to help them with that. So what are the things that they screw up? Well, most of the time, they let debts creep into their world and not the most efficient debt, okay? So we have to go back and remind them of the most efficient ways to borrow. And by the way, are you or any of your relatives that are close to you borrowing in inefficient ways? Just like they invest in inefficient ways, right? So that's what we do. So that's a call that should be made to every client. All right, and that's, you know, going from credit card debt to margin debt to securitized loans to mortgages. And I like the idea of it being, you know, a liability conversation, just like you would if you were the CFO of a company and you're talking to the CEO. And that's really your role. They're the client's the CEO, you're the CFO. You're helping them manage their balance sheet more effectively. So that's a great conversation. That's just one example. Beneficiaries. You think everybody's got their beneficiaries right. Well, if there's been any change in their life, meaning they've been divorced or a spouse has passed away or any of those, anytime there's been a change in marital status, there's always going to be issues with beneficiaries. And so that's a topic that should always, you know, it just, it should be on the radar. As you say, you know, your conversations about required minimum distribution isn't relevant to everybody, but it's relevant to a portion of your practice. And so educating them on topics that are of interest is interesting, right? And then you can get into things that might be product related but are very interesting, right? Maybe they apply, maybe they don't. Look at the controversy now over long-term care. You know, looks like GE is, you know, overextended in terms of long-term care. How's that going to, you know, what's happening with John Hancock? What's happening to long-term care? Maybe it applies, maybe it doesn't, but an interesting conversation anyway with people. The other one is these, you know, and you don't have to do this with everybody, but for people that are, you know, that are interested, that have excess capital, that are interested in new ideas, these economic development zones, which I didn't even know anything about. I had to have another financial advisor tell me about them. My financial advisor didn't bring it up. And I kind of was annoyed because I may not want to do something like that because of my age, but I'm still interested in what's going on. The new tax act has got real benefits for people that are willing to take some risk with these economic development zones. So things like that is what, when you're when you do that and you talk to everybody in your practice about liabilities, everybody in your practice about a topic, you're going, and you know this, John, we used to do this, you're going to do more business and you're going to get introductions. And that, to me, is a part of how we kind of mine the business, the clientele that we have, looking for new opportunities, looking for new money, looking for introductions. So to me, that's, you know, I always used to tell financial advisors, you need two things. You need money and you need ideas. And then you're in business. If you don't have either of those, you don't have any business. I mean, you just can't do business, right? But you need new, you need ideas. And ideas are great, you know. Comments?
Well, I think what we should probably do, and Tracy and I had maybe one of these meetings, is kind of a planning meeting, and, you know, where we cover a variety of subjects. But on that agenda, we could look at over the next quarter and sort of get those topics that you just talked about and sift through and come up with some ideas that would be relevant to some clients and not, maybe not to all of them, but to some of them. And then that could be the nature of the phone call.
Okay, here's what I would like you to do. I would like the director of implementation, right? Or vice president of implementation. That's their job. To come up with a 24-month calendar and develop new topics. So I would like you to think about, as a team, who's responsible for that? And are you having your five-star meetings where people are reporting in on how they're doing? Okay, because that's a big job, the 24-month calendar, because you have to have, let's, instead of planning for a quarter, plan for 24 months and then adjust. Because you're meeting every week, you certainly can adjust that calendar to make it more relevant to what you're doing. But you're never sitting there going, what are we going to do next month? Because let's say you have the idea of liabilities, right? During the month, the director of development is the one that goes back and does the homework, does the research, and finds out where rates are in all of those four topics, and then does the training for the team to make sure they're up and running on those topics, and advises the mortgage department that we, in fact, are going to be doing some mortgages because we're introducing mortgages as part of our liability training in the month of August. Okay?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was saying, we do have a 24-month calendar. It's just not, we haven't really utilized it, I guess is the best way to put it.
All right. So are you having your team meetings? You're having the meeting for this, right, for me. Are you having your meetings regarding the five-star model?
We have our team meetings, but not necessarily in the format of the five-star model.
The trap, okay, is that like, as I mentioned, human beings, right, we cut corners. And so what we do is we say, well, we don't need to be that formal. We'll just report based on, you know, what's important to us. Well, that means what's important to us is not necessarily what's important to the benefit of all of our teammates and everybody else. So we cut corners and we cut out things that we don't want to talk about. And, you know, we don't think it's important. Well, in fact, I would have made it the 3-star model if I thought it was only 3 stars that were important. But we made it the 5-star model because there are 5 different jobs that are all critical to the team. And if we don't report based on the 5-star model, we're going to miss things. We're going to skip things. We're going to take shortcuts. We're going to be normal human beings. And we can't be normal human beings because we don't want to be like normal. We don't want to be average. We want to be exceptional. And to be exceptional, you do the things that normal human beings don't like to do. I mean, just think about the transition you've made from doing Supernova the first time to doing the second time. What did you do? You paid attention to detail. You went through it and did it the way it was supposed to be done. And guess what? You're getting the benefits. When you get to take the shortcuts, then you skip the benefits too. Takes less time, but you miss the benefits. So just think, vice director of planning, implementation, brand management, marketing, and leadership. So which one is failing in this case?
I would say implementation if we're talking about the monthly calls.
And whose responsibility is it to make sure implementation is done?
That is mine.
Nope. It's the director of leadership. You see?
Mm-hmm.
The leader... his responsibility is to make sure everyone else is doing their job. That's why it's the most important of the stars. Because if we don't do that, then we cut corners. The director of leadership is the one that keeps us from cutting corners. Now, it's not the director of leadership doesn't have to do the jobs. They just have to make sure the jobs get done.
Mm-hmm.
That's the key.
Okay.
All right.
Mm-hmm.
John, what do you think?
That's why we have these monthly calls.
we get
busy being busy.
No, let's just think, you know, I don't know if you guys use a personal trainer, but isn't that what we do with a personal trainer? I mean, we know how to work out, right? We've been doing it for years. We know what to do. But when we work with a personal trainer, don't they constantly make minor adjustments to the way we do things? And we think we're doing them right, but we're not because we cut corners and we don't like to lift the weight that way, and we don't like to stretch full out. We like to do this. So it's exactly the same, and we know how to do it. You know this. It's a question of are we doing it, and that's why we have these calls. That's exactly right, because the coach gets you back on track, gets you back. So if you can, I mean, Be tough on yourself and have that second meeting with the whole team with everybody reporting in, which seems really boring, but in fact, will include everyone, makes everybody feel as though they're part of the team, and they're proud then to report in on how they're doing. The other thing is take the team on the road and go to the CPA's office and meet their team, and then have them come back and meet your team and report in as a team using the 5-star model. And by practicing that and doing that, and maybe even taking it on the road with your own company on how you work as a team and how you're organized and why you're so efficient and so effective, it's a great way to reinforce what you're doing, make everybody proud of what they do, and do it better and better and better. Okay.
Okay.
So I just think that, you know, if you want, here's what I suggest. Take my book, right? We talked, I don't know if we talked about this, but I've been telling everybody, take the book, The Supernova Multiplier, and listen to it once a day for 5 days, each of the 7 chapters. Okay? And there's a chapter on organization, so maybe 8 chapters. Make sure you don't miss that one. and then talk about it. So you listen to the chapter every day. You say, that's crazy. Same chapter every day for 5 days? Yes, I want you to do that. Because I want you to get it into your brain, the details, everything about it, the stories, the language, the words, and then talk about it in your meeting. What about, we've spent time on centers of influence. What are we doing? What are they telling us to do? What's the difference? What's our gap between what Rob is saying to do and what we're doing? And we want to close the gap in every single area. So if the 5-star model says to do this, what are we doing? What are the gaps between what's Rob telling us to do and what we're really doing? Now, if you can do things more efficiently, more effectively, and you think they work just as well, great, okay? Just as long as you don't cut things out, essential things. Because that's always the battle, right? If you have a better way of doing something, tell me and we will change Supernova. Supernova is what it is because you told us to change it because it works better this way. We then beta tested it with other teams and it worked better that way than this way. It's no more than your best practices consistently done. I don't tell you to do something that's going to waste your time. I don't tell you to do something that's not going to work. Why would I do that? I only tell you things that have worked for other people very successfully. So the question is, if they're not working for you, why not? What steps are you leaving out? What are the details? So we're into the hard part of Supernova now, okay? The hard part of Supernova is skill training and things that we haven't been practiced in. We may be good at them, but we don't consciously know what it is that we do in order to become successful in that area. And getting introductions is the most difficult thing. We just get them. And oftentimes we don't know why we get them, but we get them. And what we're trying to do is build some structure around getting the introductions. Okay. So have we introduced those CPAs to our team using the 5-star model? Do they really know what we do? We've given them introductions, yes. But can they tell you why they should do business with you versus doing business with someone else? So those are that's what makes this fun. I mean, it's hard and not many people are willing to do it. They all want the shortcut. Give me the medicine, you know, give me the pill. And there's no easy pill for this stuff. It's just hard work and skill training. It's skill training. And that's the part that we need to work on. But we have to have the right structure. The structure will help us. Okay?
Okay.
What did you think about my meeting with the client that I told you about?
I think you should have probed more.
Okay.
I mean, if you didn't have the answers, if you don't have the answers, then I would have probed much more, you know, and got him to talk, or I would have said, you know, you got to tell me, buddy, when somebody comes to you, you don't put them under until you know what the heck's going on. You know, why are we putting him under? What's his history? Everything about him. I don't want to kill somebody, and I don't want to kill you. You know, I start speculating you with $500,000. I find it's the only $500,000 you have, and I lose it. That would be horrible. So we're not going to do that.
Yeah, it was, you know, I asked him what his experience had been because Kristen, was he 70 years old? He'd been in practice for over 40 years.
Really?
Yeah.
I would have thought,
like 40,
from what you said,
years.
He said,
from what you
he
said,
had some really good advisors and some really bad ones.
Wow. I would have bet he was 40 years old, from what you said.
And then he kept referring to his wife, and that's when I suggested that maybe, you know, we have another meeting and include her.
Did you ask him what his net worth was?
No, uh-uh. After I said that, you know, that I couldn't, first of all, I couldn't take the $500,000 because what our minimum was, and that we needed to have a plan put together, it was almost like he wanted to get out of the room.
Yeah, I think he may not have the money.
Okay.
Yeah, I think, you know, you don't want to embarrass him, but the guy 70 not opening up to you is not proud, okay?
Yeah.
I mean, if I were there, I'd be proud to tell you everything that I've done and what my net worth is and where I am, right? Because, you know what? I won, right?
Well,
I won.
We talked about his children and so forth and so on, but... No, in the old days, you know, sure, open an account and here we go, but not just, you know, I needed more information than he was willing to give at that point, and that's why I went to, why don't we, you know, reconvene when your wife's involved, because he referred to her several times.
Yeah, it's, you know, and the problem is we're speculating, right? Who knows what the issue is? He may be. He may have had an all long-time friend that was in the business and is, you know. What I find is that, you know, your clients that are 70 have financial advisors that are 70. And so they're changing. And this is a huge opportunity right now because they don't necessarily want to go with the younger person. So demonstrating that you have a team, that you have continuity, and that, you know, you're going to be in the business for a while is really important today. This is where I see a lot of introductions coming. And when you're dealing with, you know, accounts of $5 and $10 million, they you need something like this, like that, the retirement of their advisor to get movement. But you know, we talk about red letter days. Anytime there's a big change in a person's life, it's an opportunity to become part of their life because they're willing to change. There's money in motion. They're retiring. Their financial advisor's retiring. Something big is happening. The loss of a spouse or anything, a wedding, a birth of a child, those are all red letter days, and they are opportunities for change because things are changing in that person's life. And that's when they're willing to make decisions And that's where you step in. So, you know, trying to get somebody to open up, I know you're good at it. And for him not to open up probably is the fact that he just it doesn't have the money and is not very proud of where he is, or the wife has all the money.
Yeah.
Who knows? Who knows? I mean, it could be any number of things, but I think you were right in getting, you know, try and in those situations, try and probe as much as you can and then close for a second appointment with the wife. And if not, if he won't do it, then, you know, maybe he's just trying to escape the room, as you said.
That's what I felt. I know Kristen has spoken to the other physician that sent him to us, and I will talk to him soon, I hope, and then maybe call the guy again and see if he wants to get together.
Yeah, I mean, to be, you know, to show an interest and to be cordial and you know, just explain why, you know, this is, we have a limited amount of time, unfortunately. So this is it isn't a minimum to exclude people. It's a minimum because it costs a great deal of money to do what we do, just like it does for a hospital to have an operation. You just can't have it for nothing, you know.
Yeah. Changing subjects, and I know I've asked you this before. At what point do we trim some more clients off of our list?
Whenever you feel like you have any pressure on you for time.
Okay.
Time is the big element. It's the only thing you don't have enough of. And can never get enough of. I mean, it's the only thing you can control is the number of clients. That's the way you generate time. And people say, God, this supernova is taking too much time. I want to cut back on it. I want to go to quarterly, or I want to do this. And I said, well, clearly, to maintain a standard, you have to have time. But I would advise you to reduce the number of clients rather than reducing your standard of service. Because once you reduce your standard of service, then you don't stand for anything. I mean, well, who's to say that quarterly's, you know, enough? Why don't we go to twice a year, you know? So there then becomes no standard. The thing people love about supernova is it's simple. You can explain it to people.
Well, we've brought in clients or whatever this year. I was sort of targeting three to get rid of. And some of the criteria that I was looking at, they won't come in and meet with us.
There you go.
You know, won't return a phone call. Or in another situation, just don't value what we do. There's, you know, assets there, but there's no revenue being produced. And every day there's an email that everybody sends out that, you know, they talk to so-and-so, this is what they did, just a diary of the day. And I make sure I look at that and to make sure that whoever is calling in is paying us. And then I just
right.
keep so people that are taking Ginger's time to do things that aren't producing any revenue for us. Is that a reasonable thing to do?
Oh, absolutely. You know, there were 11 criteria originally. And, you know, I call it the $5 million client that pays us zero, right? They just like keeping money with us for some reason. And they're not a client. That's why that spreadsheet, the pipeline sheet, I think, is such a good idea because that tells you who are clients, who are customers, who are ambassadors, who are advocates, you know. And so if you have a group of customers that frankly don't pay you, and they won't do a plan, they won't do 12-4-2, and they won't listen to you. I mean, they're not paying a fee. Why do we have them? I mean, that's, give somebody else a chance, you know. And I do, John, I think a fill or kill is always a smart thing to do on those.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, just, you know, this is it. I love you, but, you know, if things don't change, I'm going to reassign you.
Yeah.
And it's a chance for them, just because you don't want to, you know, just because somebody's been overseas or they've been busy or, you know, their life has been in chaos. You don't want to fire them until you give them a chance and you say, okay, here's the deal. Love you. Let's have dinner. And dinner is a great thing. I mean, you may not like dinners because you're family and all that, but dinner says this is really important. So lunch is more,
yeah,
lunch is more important than breakfast, but, you know, if you can, you know, for $5 million, maybe it's worth a dinner.
Well, I think Tracy and Kristen know who I've got on my list. And, you know, I just always ask, see what their opinion is. And, yeah, it'll probably happen at the end of the year.
Yeah, I mean, there's no reason to wait. I mean, you know who they are.
Yeah.
You make the call.
Yeah.
You get the appointment. You have the dinner. And you fire them or they become a great client.
Yeah.
Why wait to the end of the year? Why wait to the end of the year to make a great person into a great client?
Okay.
Yeah. Do it now.
All right.
Okay. So use the pipeline tool. It's a great tool. Use it on those Monday meetings, and then have your Friday meetings, your 5-star meetings. So make those as sacred as your 12-4-2s. Just say, this is part of 12-4-2. It's our team 12-4-2. We have to do it. If we don't do it, we're really shortcutting our ability to become great. Okay?
Okay.
Go for it. Go for it. All right.
All right,
girl. Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.